Truth. This is TheBillPod.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from San Francisco's Lower Haight. Today is Thursday, September 14, 2017. On this date in 1741, George Friedrich Handel finishes Messiah after working nonstop for 23 days. 1812, Napoleon occupies Moscow. 1939, the first practical helicopter takes flight in Stamford, Connecticut. 1949, India's Constituent Assembly adopts Hindi as an official language, making today Hindi Day. 1960, Iraq, Iran, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, and Venezuela create OPEC. Not OPIC, OPEC. And in 2017, in fact, a few hours ago, the statue of Robert E. Lee is removed from what until now was known as Lee Park in my hometown, Dallas, Texas. Good job, Dallas. Birthdays are psychologist Ivan Pavlov, in 1849 and Planned Parenthood founder Margaret Sanger in 1879. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. Podcast is written by Robin Bortner. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to TheBillPod.com or send us an email at TheBillPod@gmail.com. Misha made good on his promise to return to Ukraine on the 10th of September. He initially tried to cross by train and bus, was denied entry due to his lack of documentation. The process held up other passengers on the train and bus for several hours. Eventually, he approached the border guards on foot with a bunch of supporters around him in a physical confrontation, much videoed and posted all over the place, which injured 16 guards. His supporters were able to force their way through and pull him across. After the crossing, safe for the moment, Misha called his supporters heroes, blamed the government for starting the violence. His next move is a tour around the country to rally support. In response to the crossing, the prosecutor general called the crossing illegal and punishable with several years in prison. The interior minister demanded that all who entered illegally report themselves to the police station. He also took credit for the lack of bloodshed, saying that the interior ministry prohibited the use of weapons at the border crossing. Had guns been allowed, he claimed, Misha would have been stopped and many more would have been injured. Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko said that so far he will only comment on the legal situation. Remains to be seen how serious the government will be about arresting Misha and his supporters. Any of our many listeners in Ukraine, please let us know what you're hearing. Misha loves the grand gesture, but not sure Poroshenko wants him in a Ukrainian jail taking up bandwidth. Finally, Prime Minister Georgi Kvitikashvili and Justice Minister Teodosiu Lukiani commented on the event with the same line that Misha is part of Georgia's sad past. In an effort to get the opposition parties on board with some form of constitutional changes, President Georgi Margvelashvili invited them to work together to write an alternative version of the provisions most disliked. The opposition parties immediately agreed to write this draft, positioning themselves as the parties of consensus. Otsneba, however, criticized this move as too little too late, given that the Venice Commission twice commented on the current draft. This is a bit hypocritical, given that Otsneba has also changed the draft after the second reading, which is incredibly frustrating, considering that that's supposed to be purely clerical, and it's the second reading at that point, after the second reading, it's really supposed to be things like commas and periods and capitalizations, although I guess they don't have that in Georgian. But anyway, they changed it to push the date back by 4 years of its implementation, which is completely decisive in the entire thing and was the whole point in the first place. Anyway, it's a very cynical thing to have done. They planned it all along. It's unlikely that Otsneba will approve the opposition's draft, but this move is targeted towards a Venice Commission who last week complained about the lack of consensus and found it disappointing. Investigative reporting outlet IFACT discovered several suspicious business deals surrounding Otsneba's mayoral candidate, Kahi Kaladze. He's running on a platform of controlling urban development, but his own business dealings reflect deep connections to the developer Archie Group, a company which is run by Otsneba, a member of parliament from Kaladze's hometown. First deal involved construction permission for a 10-story building while he was energy minister. This was denied because it was over the 3-story limit in that zone. However, a subsequent petition for an 8-story building was approved. IFAC suspects Kaladze used his official position to lean on the council, and the councillor who gave the approval now works for Archie Group, to whom Kaladze then sold the property. Little bit of log rolling there. The second deal is more complicated and involves Kaladze using his family-run JSC Ushba development to speculate in city property and resell it to Archie Group. IFAC suspects that at best Ushba development is playing clever tricks with offshore accounts and shell companies in order to obtain funding. When asked, Khaladze refused to comment on his connection with Archie Group or the identified properties. Fantastic job on IFAC for this reporting. Let us say once again that if Georgia had more serious ultimate beneficial ownership laws where people knew who was buying what, rather than just names of companies registered offshore, this would be much less of a problem. Also in municipal elections, the International Society for Fair Elections and Democracy released its election report on the 8th of September. It called the overall environment calm, but noted several incidents of physical altercations, pressure, alleged dismissal on political grounds, and interference with observers' activities. It also focused on the disinformation campaign in social networks targeting the leading opposition mayoral candidates, Elena Khoshtadia, Zal Udumashvili, and Aliko Elisashvili. ISFED suspects the campaign is financed from illegal donations. Finally, in elections, newly adopted Georgian citizen Joseph Alexander Smith is running for city council seat previously held by independent mayoral candidate Aliko Elisashvili in Sabartalo. Smith's been living in Tbilisi since 2012 and, like Elisashvili, is running as an independent to fight corruption on the council. He's also campaigning for greater transportation safety and greener policies. He speaks great Georgian, and that alone makes him worth having in there. There's a Global Voices article about him and a Georgian language interview on TV. So in the absence of any other information, let's listeners get behind him. He certainly has a great platform. Foreign ministers of Georgia, Turkey, and Azerbaijan met in Baku last week for their annual trilateral meeting. The focus of the agenda was on the Baku-Tbilisi-Kars Railway, which will begin operations in October. The railway will significantly reduce the cost of transporting goods between Asia and Europe and hopefully provide an economic boost to all three countries. The line's capacity will be 1 million people and 6.5 million tons of freight annually, with the potential to increase to 3 million passengers and 7 million tons. In addition to railway, ministers discussed the continued development of Trans-Caucasian Energy Pipeline. Noticeably off the table, however, was kidnapped journalist Afghan Mukhtarli, who's currently detained in Baku, and pending extradition of Turkish school director Mustafa Çabuk. Foreign Minister Canalidze was also in Estonia this week for an unofficial meeting of the Eastern Partnership. This meeting was in preparation for the fifth annual summit of the partnership this November. The usual suspects of subjects of increased trade and EU membership prospects were discussed. I'm really interested to hear about the passenger service to Kars from Tbilisi. Any listeners who take that in October or who hear about ticket prices and times, please let us know. This week, two diplomatic delegations offered praise and support for Georgia. First was U.S. Deputy Assistant Secretary Bridget Brink, who joined Ambassador Ian Kelly at a meeting with Prime Minister Gyurgy Kvitakashvili to praise the reform progress, discuss bilateral strategic partnership. Hopefully they hammered him hard on the constitutional amendments, but I have no inside information about that. Brink stood by the declarations of friendship of Mike Pence in his apology for Trump's bad-mouthing NATO tour made during his August visit and said that the U.S. would continue to be a reliable friend. In a similar vein, a visiting Lithuanian parliamentary delegation cited Georgia as a front-runner of the Eastern Partnership in terms of implementing reforms, especially in light of fighting corruption and changing legislation. They promised continued support and announced that the Lithuanian prime minister will visit later this month. Didn't say anything about Misha becoming Lithuanian. A group of Georgian Azeris rallied outside of the Tbilisi parliament to protest the ongoing violence against Rohingya Muslims in Myanmar or Burma. Similarly, the head of Georgia's Supreme Muslim Religious Department, Syed Mirtagi Musavi, called for the violence to stop immediately. A resolution in this regard was adopted following the rally and will be submitted to the UN office in Tbilisi. Establishing a minimum wage is on the 2017-18 action plan of the Human Rights Committee, according to documents released this week. The minimum wage was strongly advocated by German parliamentary state secretary during her visit in February. The numbers support the need, according to the National Statistics Office. 21% of individuals lived in absolute poverty in 2016. As of July 2017, the National Statistics Office defines the living wage of a working age man is 167 lari a month, and about 63,000 individuals and 130,000 families earn less than this. Currently, Georgia's labor code does not set a minimum wage, but a 1919 presidential decree sets a minimum salary of 20 lari a month, and a 2005 decree set 135 lari a month as the minimum salary for government employees. Obviously, both of these salaries are below the calculated living wage, which is a pretty low calculation, by the way. The release documents to focus on labor issues such as safety and compliance with the UN Sustainable Development Goals and European legislation. Another Georgian soldier was injured by a suicide bomber in Afghanistan. The defense ministry stated that the soldier is hospitalized for testing, but is not suffering from anything life-threatening. Three civilians were also injured in the bombing. The soldier, critically injured in last week's activities, is currently being treated in Germany. The hardest-working NGO in the South Caucasus, Transparency International Georgia, released its evaluation of the proceedings of several high-profile criminal cases, the fourth in a series. There were several things of note. First, the much-decried verdict and classified nature of the so-called Cable case, which tried defense ministry employees for corruption in 2016, pointed to a serious amount of political influence on the court, particularly since those that were tried were innocent. They also found some incidents where the judges adopted unethical attitudes, where witnesses communicated improperly, where cases were artificially delayed, and where some interested parties were not allowed to attend the hearings. One positive note, however, was that the media was freely allowed access to all appropriate proceedings. Bank of Georgia signed $75 million one-year club trade finance facility with the Asian Development Bank and the IFC, International Finance Corporation. The agreement was arranged by Citibank and is the fourth time the agreement has been made. Funds will support the import and export transactions of the Bank of Georgia's top corporate customers with the goal of increasing trade volume and value throughout the country. High-speed internet is now available in 24 villages in Tusheti, the remote mountainous region in the northeast. To facilitate this, seven towers were installed by the Tusheti Development Fund and the NGO Internet Society. Cost of the project totaled $40,000. After several months of negotiation, China's Southern Airlines launched a new route between Beijing and Tbilisi. There will now be biweekly flights on Tuesday and Friday. Since 2011, China Southern has been operating on and off flights to Georgia. The airlink is part of China's ongoing One Belt, One Road project, which aims to increase connection between China and the rest of the world. Also in conjunction with the One Belt, One Road project, the University of Georgia sent representatives to Hong Kong Education Expo last week with the hope of increasing Chinese enrollment. Turkey opened Tbilisi Square, a new 4,500-square-meter public park in Ankara. The park was a project undertaken by the Georgian Ministry of Culture and Monument Protection in recognition of the 25th anniversary of Turkish-Georgian diplomatic relations. President Georgi Margvelashvili awarded Michel Sony, a French musician, a professor, and honorary consul of the Embassy of Lithuania, with the prestigious Order of Honor. Beyond his own achievements, the award was given because of his contribution to the professional development of young musicians. His SOS Talent Foundations helps Georgian pianists receive training and international exposure. Elton John postponed his concert plan for the 16th of September in Black Sea Arena until next summer due to poor health of his guitarist, Davy Johnstone. Those with tickets can either receive a refund or use them next year. Although the exact date is not yet finalized, tickets for next summer's concert will go on sale on the 20th of November. Georgian karate guy Gogita Arkania has won the German Open, one of the most prestigious competitions in the sport. To win, he defeated a field of 104 fighters, including world champion Jonathan Horn, who he bested in the final rounds. Odds are good that Arkania will qualify to represent Georgia in the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. Parliamentary news. Chairman Irakli Kobakhidze nominated Irakli Mekvabishvili for the five-year post as state auditor. He previously served as a senior banker for the European Bank for Reconstruction and Development. The vote to confirm his nomination will be held on the 2nd of September. After receiving approval, the auditor operates independently from Parliament. Meme this week is a picture of an ultra-nationalist protest which took place in Tbilisi on the 12th of September, much shared on Facebook. It depicts a group of several hundred men and police gathered beneath a large illuminated photo of Kahikaladze outside of the Otsuneva headquarters. The protests specifically targeted the Soros Foundation and the sale of land to foreigners, all of the usual suspects that the Kremlin gets freaked out about and gets others freaked out about. Photojournalist Onik Krikorian examines Georgia's strategies for countering violent extremism for Stratfor, a political publication focused on risk analysis. He writes that while the number of foreign fighters is comparatively low in Georgia, there's potential for radicalization in regions which feel culturally isolated, are discriminated against, and lack opportunities. Georgia's policies tend to swing between punishment and rehabilitation. He argues for outreach and a more nuanced approach and urges a scope of de-radicalization efforts to expand beyond Muslims to include neo-Nazis and ultra-nationalist groups. Krikorian is a smart guy, and this is a really good article. I hope that the Georgian government is paying attention to it. The Telegraph put out a new travel article about Georgia recommending, among the usual attractions, a couple craft beer and exotic coffee locations and a visit to Batumi, which was described, perhaps accurately, as zany. In response to this summer's anti-immigrant marches, Caucus Research Center surveyed wider sentiments about immigration, found the opinions were largely neutral towards immigrants. Those opinions became a lot more positive if immigrants were considered to contribute to the economy, and a little more negative if not. It's quite interesting and worth taking a look. And Global Voices has mentioned before on the British naturalized Georgian running for Tbilisi City Council for Sabartalo. All this stuff to be read, things to read, will be posted on the forum if you want to check them out. This week's dive bar number is 301. That's the ranking of Tbilisi State University on the 2018 Times Higher Education World University Ranking, a report which selected and ranked the top 400 European universities. It also ranked 1,001 out of 1,500 on the global ranking list. Being included on the list means it's in the top 5% of the 20,000 universities examined, and it's the only university in the region to be included in either category. Caspian News released a detailed analysis of the impact of the new Trans-Caucasian Railway on the region and other players like China and Russia. The 8th annual photo Festival, Tbilisi Photo Festival, will run between the 13th and 20th of September, showcasing the works of over 350 international photographers. Theme this year will explore how fashion photography expresses identity and ideology, a very interesting topic. Detailed list can be found at the festival's website of all the goings-on and exhibitions. Writer Eric Lee will launch his new book, The Experiment, at Prospero's on the 14th of September, that being today. We have not gotten the report on that yet. He'll give a short talk. Anybody who is there, we'd be interested to hear about the talk. Prospero's co-founder and writer Peter Naismith is launching an expanded edition of his book titled Georgia in the Mountains of Poetry. It's a history of post-Soviet Georgia's politics and culture. The new edition includes South Ossetia and an interview with Bidzina. There will be an event on the 21st of September at Stanford Travel Bookshop in central London. British Georgian Society is hosting the Rustabi Choir on the 30th of September at the British Library in London. Ambassador Tamar Berichashvili and singer Kedi Melowa will also be in attendance. There will also be a wide variety of lectures in the afternoon. Tickets are available online. CRC has opened a competition for articles to include in the 2017 Caucasus Barometer data set, which surveys political attitudes in the region. The authors in the selected articles will be compensated with $500. The deadline for submission is December 15th. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email address is tbilpod@gmail.com. Post the form on our website, www.tbilpod.com. Normally, we try and go with something a little more modern, a little more swingy. But this time, we'll finish with Ilya Zakaidze and Rostom Saginashvili singing the folk song Shakrulo, which was a song sent on the Voyager 2, sent up precisely 40 years ago today in 1977. Thank you very much. Oh,